comic books, movies, TV, and more. Nerds are everywhere. It's time to assemble! It's Nerds United, a Jittery Monkey podcast. Here's your host, Greg Mahochko.
Welcome to another episode of Nerds United on Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. Greg Mahochko here. And one of the things I like to, of course, this is only episode two, but in episode one, we sat down with the new writer on Green Lantern Corps by the name of Van Jensen. And in fact, special surprise for you. So listen for the end of this episode. Listen for that. And we'll talk about a prize giveaway that we're doing here on Nerds United. But I love talking to creative people. And a number of years ago, when I started getting back into comics, I visited a comic store in Shiloh, Illinois, and I met a guy by the name of Drew. And Drew actually came as a reference to me from another comic book friend of mine named Mike, and Drew went from one comic store to another and met up with some other creative people, and they have put together a comic book by the name of Ginormous. Before we get talking about Ginormous, I want to introduce you to two-thirds of the creative team behind the book. Drew Rose, who is a co-writer along with David Tickner, who can't That's be great. Here today. And then the artist is the lovely and talented Lauren Ousley. And welcome both of you to Nerds United.
Yay!
And if you can't tell, Drew's a little excited.
I'm super excited.
How many Mountain Dews have you had, Drew?
Three.
Three?
It's my third.
And they're not normal.
No, they're the big ones.
Oh. So
I'll be peeing a lot later.
All right, but not now.
No, I'm good now.
Okay. So Drew and Lauren, two-thirds of the creative team behind Ginormous. And let's start, Drew, with talking about where your interest began in comic books, a little bit about your history. First of all, where'd you grow up?
I grew up in Tucson, Arizona, and then Okinawa, Japan.
Military.
Yeah.
You say Okinawa, and a lot of ears are like, yeah, must have been military.
Yeah. I was born in Turkey, so I don't even remember Turkey at all, because then I went to Arizona, then Japan. But anyways, I went to school one day, and then my dad came and picked me up from first grade, and he had a bunch of Spider-Man comic books and some Wolverine ones, but I didn't really get into Wolverine. More of my thing was like Spider-Man. I don't know what connected with Spider-Man, but Spider-Man was my guy. He's always been my guy. He's still my guy.
Hey, you're wearing the shirt, I see.
That's right. I'm representing.
I can tell you it's definitely his guy because his bathroom is covered in it.
Yeah, that's true.
And
that's mine.
We're here at recording this on-site, if you will, Heroic Adventures in Edwardsville, Illinois, which is the comic store that you currently work at. Mm-hmm. And we're in the back room, which, yeah, it has that shower-ish feel to it with the Spider-Man shower curtain of silence, keeping all the outside noise out there and our audio solely back here in the back room. So Spider-Man is your guy. What was it about Spider-Man that drew you to that character?
I don't know. It might have been like the 60s cartoon at the same time. I had those tapes that I was watching it, and I was also reading the comic. So just, I don't know if that was it, but it's just something about him. I guess crawling on walls and swinging through the city, just like not a care in the world kind of thing.
We're gonna put a pin on that and come back to your Spider-Man later. But let's bring in Lauren now, who is the artist on Ginormous. And Lauren, let's learn a little bit about you. Just, you know, like I told you, this is gonna be very painless. Don't worry. I am like a precision surgeon behind the microphone. So let's talk a little bit about your history. Where'd you grow up?
I am from Missouri, actually. I started in Ferguson. I moved over to the Illinois side about 8 years ago, and I've been here ever since, pretty much between Collinsville and Edwardsville.
When did you kind of first get that interest in art? And did it always include, you know, have that comic book appeal to it? Or?
Well, actually, I've been into art since forever. Comics I got into a little bit later because it was kind of an intimidating situation to be a female walking into a comic book store. So I was probably about 16 when I really started reading them. I always wanted to, but they weren't as easily accessible for me.
And now you look at now, it's 2013. Women in geek culture are revered. You know, I say, you know, you go to the shock, and maybe it's just, you know, Drew and I can talk about this being, you know, nerds ourselves, but just the shock that there's a girls interested in this stuff. So when did you start combining the two, combining art and comic books?
Within the last couple of years, I did a lot with fine art. That's where I started. Then I started getting into illustration and graphic design because I have a couple of degrees, first fine arts and illustration. So, I really have always wanted to draw. And then finally we got our creator group, and that's what really got me going with it, which was a little over a year ago is when I got heavy into the comic drawing.
So how did you two and David, again, who's a co-writer and not able to be here with us, how did you guys all get together? What, just, you know, seeing each other in the store or, you know, branching out? And I mean, what's the story?
Well, Dave and Drew have been tight friends since high school, so that's pretty much where they started.
Yep.
And Dave and I are together, so there, we've just been friends.
I see how that could bring you into the nucleus, the core of the group. Ginormous is the name of the title, and as we'll talk with you, Drew, yeah, as writer, a little bit. What's the story about?
So, if Lauren doesn't mind me telling how she met Dave, because me and Dave did a lot of drug studies together as well, and that's kind of what the story is. As a slacker who does drug studies, he gets superpowers. Well, Lauren and Dave met at a drug study too, so just kind of like it's full circle, I guess, for all of us.
I gotcha.
So basically, this guy named Grant Givens, he's going to eventually call himself Giant Guy. I know it's pretty original.
Well, Giant Man was taken.
Right. Yeah, we don't want to get sued. So basically, he does a drug study, and he doesn't know that the government is also secretly funding this. And for whatever reason, he's the only one that actually gets the superpowers. And he just grows big. He doesn't have anything extra about him. He's not very smart. He's not responsible. But he's the best that they have, because that's the first time it worked. And he is very destructive and destroys the city, and he eventually has to get sponsors for it and stuff. He goes to Asgard to help Thor and Loki, Thor take on Loki.
So it's built into a pre-existing universe?
Kind of, yeah. We kind of start at the like current times, then we go back and tell his backstory a little bit, and then we go back into the current story.
This is an independent comic.
Yes, correct.
So when it goes, you know, and you're working, doing crowdsource funding, mm-hmm, Kickstarter, and we talk about that more at the end of the episode. But when it goes into the publishing phase, mm-hmm, do you have that concern of running into some Marvel lawyers to say, hey, you're kind of using our characters here?
Well, we looked a lot, yeah, into Norse mythology,
okay,
which is what the characters
so
are based upon.
Yeah,
okay.
We went more into...
Correct.
The likeliness of what they've explained these people to look like, because Marvel uses a completely different,
right,
set of like characteristics,
okay,
that we were trying to stick to the Norse
things. So you went to the Norse rather than the Marvel version.
Because we spell Heimdall's name how it's supposed to be spelled.
Nice.
Heimdallr, I think, is the original spelling for it. And I think in Marvel...
And that's even translated,
yeah,
so it's
like
crazy.
Heim... I can't remember.
So stick them
different
with the,
characters
stick
in a different
with
language.
The classic. So is there potential as the story goes on that our hero Giant Guy clashes, but maybe meets with other mythological figures of other cultures, perhaps Greek or Egyptian?
That may
Could be
a
cool.
plan for our future.
I can't tell if Drew's expression. I can't tell if I'm reading your mind or if I'm sowing the seed of an idea.
No, you're reading my mind. There's a thing where we've already planned with the Sphinx and Egyptian mythology a little bit. And then we're also going to do something with like hippies and tree folk, like giant tree creatures. And then there's another.
Entkind.
Yeah. And then he's going to shrink real small in one of our other stories too. Hopefully if this keeps going. We're gonna shrink him, and we're gonna make him save the president.
Well, that's good.
Yeah,
I mean, you know, president needs to be saved. Well, we're talking about Ginormous. The thing that caught me is 10 years ago, you couldn't have had a title like Ginormous because that was not a word that anybody had ever heard before.
Mm-hmm.
So, Is that the only title, the only working title you guys have ever had, or did you kick around some other ideas? We said, wait a minute, Ginormous is it is, you know, webbed now into pop culture.
Yeah, it was. So we wrote this story back in like 2006 or 2007, and just kind of sat on it because we had an artist in mind, and he flaked out on us, and for whatever reason, we were dumb and didn't ask Lauren until last year, kind of thing.
I wasn't ready then.
So this kind of worked out,
you know.
So, yeah, it was just all about timing. Unfortunately, we had to wait, but I'm kind of glad that we did now.
So, as we talk, Lauren, the artistic side of things.
So good.
I have seen some of the stills through the Kickstarter. Actually, I believe it was the Kickstarter video invitation. And was that, Lauren, you back there destroying the mock city?
Yeah, I was like, I really don't want to talk. What could I do?
Classic. Destruction.
So I was like, I'll just, you know, eat some army people and throw some planes.
That was a good time.
Classic Green Army men have perhaps never had a better way to die.
It was entertaining.
Right. So as we talk about the art, tell me a little bit about your side of things. Do they give you like a full script or a storyboard idea, or do they just say this is kind of what we like, or are you just supposed to read their minds?
A bit of everything, honestly. I definitely read their minds a lot.
It's true.
I change some of the stuff. They write out a lot of what they want, and if it's something that's really particular, they're like, hey, we really want to see this. Otherwise, they're pretty trustworthy that I'm going to lay out some good pages.
It's also good that she sits in on our writing sessions.
Yeah, they pretty much act out everything, so I get to see it before anybody else sees it or hears it. Before they write it down, I hear it because it's like an acting session for them.
You know, isn't that Alex Ross's kind of method, is he gets human bodies in there? I mean, because his art is so, you know, stylized to be so realistic that, I mean, he has, you know, somebody might just be standing in there in that classic superhero, you know,
he does have
fists on the way. So
pose for him.
You don't ever get any of their acting out sessions on camera, do you?
No, I've talked lots about doing it.
You should.
I think it would be fantastic.
You should.
It'd be so fantastic.
I mean, if people aren't already excited for Ginormous, I think if you got these two on camera acting it out.
You don't even know.
Yeah.
That's like,
I wish we would have recorded some of those earlier sessions.
Yeah, because I hear the ins and outs before they even finalize something. They go crazy over ideas. And when they get something, it just, they light up. It's awesome.
I was going to ask, you know, when you and David click on an idea, and I'm sure because Lauren's in the room also, she's, you know, looking at you guys maybe with a face like, I don't know if that's such a good idea.
Oh, there's been those times.
Or at the other times, you know, her face lights up, you know, that's a great idea.
Or she'll be laughing. Usually that's also a good indicator.
Yeah.
If she's laughing with us and not like...
Not laughing at
giving
you.
Giving us that stare like, I don't think this is going to work, fellas.
So
yeah.
When the creative minds, you know, are all in sync, do you get that feeling, that creative energy where everything you put, when you put pen to paper, everything works?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I've tried numerous times, and this is the farthest I've got, and I hope that we keep this going. And then there's real, like, at this point in time, there's nobody else I want to be working with either, so.
We call ourselves a tripod.
Yeah.
The tripod?
The tripod.
Can't do it with just two legs.
Mm-hmm. That's true. We just fall over.
Lauren, I think you're locked in.
She knows this.
Okay.
Pretty much. Now,
when we talked a little bit about writing it down, do you guys do full page or outline? Or
so,
I mean, because a lot of writers go a lot of different ways.
Yeah, a lot of my friends that have started help backing the project now are sending me questions about how we did it. And usually what...
And they're getting all the answers right here.
Yeah.
Nerds United.
So basically, Dave and I, we start out, we come up with full like a page synopsis of each issue, and then we break it down into an outline, and if stuff doesn't fit, then we just kind of like, we work it into the next issue, and then when we're at the end of the writing process, that's when we know how many issues we're going to have, and we usually shoot for like 22 pages, and then after we break it down in the outline, we do our thumbnails, which aren't as good as Lauren's, and it's just like stick figures, and it's just like basic, like, okay, we want this to happen in here, and then we just try and, you know, write it down, like, here's what they're going to say. And then we're like, here you go, Lauren. Good luck.
Make magic.
Yeah.
I imagine you say, you know, just the little storyboards. I'm imagining stick figures on Post-it notes.
We don't do Post-it notes, actually.
Post-its are No, they're too primitive for Post-it notes.
can't go Post-it. What?
Usually it's a legal pad.
Yeah.
Well, the color, I mean, the yellow color is relatively the same. So they give you, you know, the basic layout and then trust you to, I mean, because a lot of books are made or broken on the art and trust you with setting the scene. And like I said, I've seen some stills and it is phenomenal work. And I'm not just saying that because you're, you know, within striking distance. No, but it really is remarkable work. And so, I mean, how do you set up a sheet?
Pretty much I read through what they have. I sit in while they're writing, look at their thumbs, typically just redo the thumbs. Like I have a book specifically just for thumbnails and I'll go through a few pages at a time and be like, hey, this is this. They're very rough, but it gives them an idea of what I'm thinking. So they're just like little stick figure layouts
better
with
than
the
ours,
gesture
though.
And the composition and all that. So if they're like, yeah, that's exactly what I'm thinking, I move forward with it, laid out on a page.
So is it digital drawing or
no,
is it
I
all,
do.
It is
I,
all full pen
yeah.
or paper and
I love
pencil?
Pencils. I love paper.
Like the coloring, you're doing the coloring as well?
I'm not doing the coloring. We're actually having somebody else do the coloring for us.
Felipe Guiano, I believe is his name.
Yeah, so we're hiring out for the coloring.
Okay.
We're giving it that extra professional touch.
$30 a page. This guy is knocking it out of the park. Like, it's going to look really good.
It already does.
It looks amazing. I don't. No offense. I'm not trying to say it. It's good now, and it's going to be great. I'm excited. Color's going to be so nice. Like, I'm blown away that it's so cheap. And this guy just great
that it's
work.
Only $30 per page.
Yeah, it should be like
cheap,
it should be like
yeah.
$60, $75.
Right.
And this guy is like doing the coloring. It's I'm just excited.
He's giving it away.
Yeah, it really is.
Now we talk about the Kickstarter. This mm-hmm. is a crowdsource funded project. People want to go and help out, they can go to Kickstarter.com and search Ginormous.
That's it.
That is easy.
Yeah. And if they have an Amazon account, then it's even easier. It's just
who doesn't have an Amazon account by now?
There's a couple of people that are like, here's my money because I don't have an Amazon account.
and
it drives me nuts.
Speaking of, you know, not necessarily because of Amazon account, but you did have a Kickstarter event this past weekend. Tell us a little bit about that and what all did that entail?
Well, we put together an event. It was a $10 admission per person. They came in. We got a DJ, Matty Ice. He's a friend of mine.
He was awesome.
Matt Chance. He rocked it out. He did an electronic set, and there's dancing and, you know, maybe a little bit of drinking.
Hey, we're all 21 and up here.
It was fantastic. We had a great time.
It's funny you say DJing, did an electronic set, because I DJ. In fact, this past Saturday evening, I was DJing a wedding, and I have a laptop there, and I hit play, and I was done.
Yeah. See, he did.
There's two different kinds of DJing now,
he didn't
apparently.
Really leave his, he didn't leave his little station there. He was cutting the
right.
things together. I don't know much about it, but I've watched him do it, and
I don't know
pretty
much
awesome.
About that stuff. Like I said, I can hit play.
Yeah.
I did have to get the songs in there and take a couple of requests. It's not like I, you know, hit play and left for 4 hours.
See, we had somebody ask, like, hey, see if you can play the chicken dance.
I'm not
promise
sure.
He doesn't have the chicken dance.
Should have come over to the wedding reception. I was the DJ. We had the chicken dance.
I like the chicken dance.
Who asked,
but,
who asked for the chicken dance?
Margie.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So where, as far as, you know, the funding goes, where are we at and what's the goal?
So
we're 1522 last I looked.
2000 is our goal.
And that's what you need to get this published?
The book printed and to
pay
the
colorist. Yeah.
And after you do raise when you hit your goal mm-hmm. and you get the book printed, where's it gonna be? I mean, obviously you have a great opportunity here at Heroic Adventures
right.
where you can put it right there, but I mean as far as distribution, gonna do some online sales or
we're gonna try, we're hoping that we'll get some retailer backing and then that'll help cast a bigger net. We're probably gonna do a lot of shows locally at first. And then hit all the local comic shops and then just do a little bit of research and start asking other comic shops if they'd be interested. Just
yeah,
kind of work that way.
We do have some leads for online sales They help you market the book. They take a percentage. They'll get it out there for you. Also, like he said, like local shows, we want to do conventions. We're starting in September, actually, with St. Charles, Missouri, St. Louis, Missouri.
Mm-hmm. Project Comic-Con.
Project Comic-Con will be there with Stash Publishing. So
excellent. And if I remember from the Kickstarter, I think it was actually the Kickstarter event video, if people go in, is there a chance, am I reading this right, that they have a shot to maybe be in the book?
That's correct.
Yep. We actually have a few people that are going to be in this current book because they have donated to that tier.
Greg Mahatch.
Everyone
is
will.
Not quite ginormous.
Everyone will get to be in the book that backs it too, and by get to be in the book, I mean like their name will be in it with a thank you section in the back.
So they're not really going to be drawn in there.
They won't be drawn in there unless they give
an artist rendering.
Yeah, All right. There is a tier. Like if you don't have enough, there's a tier below the being in the book that you can get Lauren to draw your likeness riding an ice giant.
Yeah, it's a $50 tier. So.
An ice giant, you said?
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
What, explain that.
In our book, the ice giants are like cows. They're like cattle to them.
Oh, okay.
They look like spiky, misshapen cows.
And your likeness would be
you riding it like a cowboy or girl.
People can't see this because this is a podcast, but the wheels of my mind are turning and the corners of my lips are curved upwards in a very eager grin. I want to be an ice giant. No, I'm very excited for Ginormous, and I think as soon as everything gets off the ground, it's going to be a big, big success. How many stories have you guys put down on paper? I mean, how far can this go? What kind of run are we looking at?
I mean, so we're...
You guys are pretty well scripted through a trade, so about six issues.
Yeah, we have six issues at least, but beyond the first one, we're kind of going to do like a Ed Brubaker, Sean Phillips thing. They do like Fatale and Incognito and some other books. Then they're like Criminal. What they do is they do this story, then they'll do like six or five issues, then go to another one, and then go back and forth because there's more characters we have that we want to do stuff with. So, but for Ginormous, we're going to go like Hellboy numbering. It's like this story arc, this one's called It's Not About the Size, It's What You Do With It.
Mm-hmm.
One of six. So the next
it's not
one,
the size of the boat, it's the motion in the ocean.
That's right. So the next one, whatever.
That's going to be 7 through 12.
Whatever the title is, it'll be 1 through however many we decide it'll be, but it'll actually be like 7 on up. It'll be a continuous numbering, but you can kind of jump in at any given point of any story arc and not be really lost.
Obviously, people want to get in at the ground. I mean, Origins, I love reading origin stories, and it doesn't matter if it's Batman Year One or, and I know Marvel just put this out on direct-to-video DVD Wolverine Origins, and I found that book was pretty amazing. The art wasn't what you normally think of with a Wolverine story, but just the story itself kind of really carried things along, and certainly now we have a solid union between art and story in Ginormous that will help carry it on. Have you guys considered at all the possibility of like doing the digital comic route?
We actually $1 on our Kickstarter, you get the digital copy for $1.
That seems
pretty
easy.
Much free.
Yeah,
I mean that seems really easy.
Yeah, so it's like someone's like, well, "I don't got $30, man." It's like that's cool. Do you have $1?
$1, just one,
just one,
and that's I mean
we're not being greedy here. So the dollar will do,
and the I mean. They get that? Do they get it right away, or do they have to wait for the rest of gold?
The digital copy will be like almost
pretty quick.
Instantly.
Okay,
it's the print copy that have to probably wait a little longer. But for $5, actually, every tier gets at least a digital copy.
So
you can hold on to it until you get the hard copy, and then you do whatever you want with it. I guess. I mean, I can't really. I mean, if you want to delete it.
I listen to a lot of, aside from podcasting and working in radio for 10 years, I've started listening to a lot of podcasts, particularly some of the Smodco Internet Radio, Kevin Smith.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of those, and particularly the nerd ones. What can I say? So I've been listening to Fat Man on Batman a lot, and I understand that, in reading his work as well, Kevin Smith does a lot of dialogue, just like in his movies. Are you guys... very heavy on the dialogue, or kind of let things speak for themselves? Or does it depend on the situation?
It really depends on the situation, but I like to be, like, it's a comic book, so you don't want a Neil Gaiman it, which...
It's true.
I would probably be more into Neil Gaiman if it wasn't like, I should have just bought a novel. But
his Sandman stuff, though.
It's good.
Yeah, that's
don't get me wrong.
Actually, it's one of the first things I read was Sandman.
And I was
going to get into it.
And I was going to get in, back to that because we talked about when you first got interest, but we completely skipped. This is all my fault. You think that I was an amateur
right.
or something, but we completely skipped over, you know, where your heart lies as far as comics go and who your favorite characters are.
Well, I did start with like Sandman and Preacher.
Nice.
So that one was obviously fantastic. If anybody has read it, you know it's fantastic. Past that, I mean, right now I read a lot of obviously the girly stuff. I love Wonder Woman, you know.
Who doesn't love Wonder Woman?
Oh man, Brian Azzarello's Wonder Woman's so great. Too.
It's so good. I got kind of worried there for a second. I looked at the art, I was like, this isn't him. What's happening?
Yeah.
But yeah, I like that stuff. I don't know. I just kind of jump around with comics.
But the girly stuff.
I do like the girly stuff.
There's nothing wrong with that. So now let me ask you this then, because I've heard this brought up quite a bit. Wonder Woman, obviously one of the founding members of the Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
And now that they're doing Man of Steel 2 and introducing a new Batman into that and doing a Flash movie before... Justice League. I'm not going to say that I'm ripping off this idea, but I got this idea from the Kevin Smith podcast, whatever one it was. I think it was before an episode of Hollywood Babylon a couple weeks ago. Anyway, after Comic-Con, when they announced the Batman-Superman movie, they said that Wonder Woman would be able to carry a solo movie better than The Flash and maybe use Wonder Woman to introduce The Flash. Obviously, that's not the way Warner Brothers is going, but you've got to be excited for the possibility of a Wonder Woman movie because it's well
yes,
past its time.
Yeah, it would be so fantastic. Like, I don't know who would play her. I really don't. It'd have to be a nobody that just comes out of nowhere.
The only person I think that has build for it, I don't know if she would be good for Wonder Woman.
I know who you're going to say.
Jessica Biel.
No.
She's got a...
She might have kind of the build, but...
Yeah. I wouldn't...
She doesn't have the presence
her.
That Wonder Woman would need.
I don't think she would be the right actress. I would start there and then look for someone similar build.
I think she
needs to look a little bit more...
Amazonian.
Exotic.
Well, they could...
They
could camera shot that.
Exotic.
No, I don't know, and that's the thing. I mean, we could sit here and all day long we could cast, you know, DC movies or Marvel movies, but Wonder Woman it seems to be one that has eluded, you know, all studios because even they were supposed to do a TV show and that fell through.
Well, they keep trying to get a girl that's like, you know, double tapping, you know, the back of her throat to keep her weight, you know, and it's like, I can't have this toothpick be Wonder Woman. It's like, what the fuck is that?
I like how you said double tapping.
Because
for a minute there, I wasn't exactly sure that I knew what you were talking about. I got that now. There's, you know, when you talk about Hollywood and a lot of, you know, females trying to get jobs, there's...
double tapping could mean so many things.
but you're right. They need... And I'm going to try to say this as politically correct as possible, but they need a beefier gal.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, somebody who looks like she's, you know, the
she
daughter.
She can handle her shit.
Yeah. Yeah. And there goes the, we're definitely giving this one an explicit tag. Just saying. This one's all right. No, I'm kidding. But, so yeah, we can sit here, you know, Wonder Woman's a fantastic character. My regret is I have yet to read any of the new 52 Wonder Woman, and I want to. Don't look at me like that.
Yeah,
Drew.
You need to, man.
I need to, especially because I, you know, like we talked about earlier, Norse gods and how they play a part in Ginormous. I have a big, you know, long time history of love and affection for ancient mythology, Norse, Greek, particularly, and I understand that there's a lot of, you know, that Greek mythology. Influence in Wonder Woman. So it's just, it's not a matter of I don't want to, it's a matter of I haven't yet. So
yeah,
stop yelling at me with your eyes.
You will enjoy it when you read it.
We sit here and you know, we talk movies and picking up the pin that we talked about at the beginning of the show, mm-hmm. when we got a little bit of info on you, Drew, mm-hmm. and Spider-Man 2. Excited?
Oh my God, yes.
Excited for Jamie Foxx? Have you seen?
When they first cast him and I've seen these pictures, I'm like, okay, they're going to do some effects to him, but it's going to be dumb. And then I saw the little clip from Comic-Con. I was like, okay, this is going to be good. And I've been saying this for years too, like the intros to the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, they should have introduced like D-level characters, like he just beats up every once in a while. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of doing that with Rhino, from what I understand. Like, Rhino's going to be in it, but he's not going to be, like, a huge part. He's just kind of like, hey, I'm the guy that's going to be Rhino. He's like, oh, shut up. And then later in the movie, he becomes him, and they maybe reveal him at the end or something, or later down the road.
Yeah, I know that, Paul Giamatti, of course, is Rhino, which a lot of people say, that's kind of weird.
Hello, CGI, welcome to the future.
Well, I'm not saying that. Some people are saying that. But, casting-wise, it's, you look at some of the pictures, the films that he's chosen to do, kind of a departure from the norm for him. I like that cast. I'm kind of with you. I was very skeptical of Jamie Foxx at first, but with the footage that we've seen and some of the production stills, it seems to work all right. But I don't know, when you talk about Rhino in minor characters, Sandman in Spider-Man 3 was should have been the minor character, and all of a sudden he's taken it. We can go back and talk about those last two, Spider-Man.
There's only those two Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies.
Oh, there were three.
No, there was two.
Which one are you not counting the third one?
I don't even know what you're talking about.
Come on now. For a healthy discussion, it needs to be addressed. But... First
it's addressed as non-existent to him.
You shouldn't cast Topher Grace.
Oh my God, yeah.
And if you're going to have Venom, you got to have him for more than 15-20 minutes.
I agree. Yeah.
I mean, I know that those are the same gripes that an emo Spider-Man, emo Peter Parker, but those are the same gripes that, everybody has. But I hope that in The Amazing Spider-Man 2, they handle the villains a little differently than the multi-villains than they did in Spider-Man 3.
I think they are. I read a thing today. I think it was IO9 or Bleeding Cool that apparently Green Goblin might be showing up too. And I was like, but I mean, he could show up as Norman Osborn and I think that would be fine. And I think part of the problem too is some people aren't quite on board with this new Spider-Man movie because it's like, Classic Spider-Man and Ultimate Spider-Man. It's like elements from each, and they're just kind of like cramming them together. And I think it works so far. So I think some people are not on board with that idea. What? But I think they're going to handle it more appropriately than Sam Raimi did on Spider-Man 3, which I just acknowledged.
Yeah, we finally got it.
He broke him.
If nothing else, I can say that I finally made you admit defeat in that. They made a decision, I guess it was early in production or very late in pre-production, that they were going to eliminate the Mary Jane Watson character in this movie, which I was very happy to hear. I was not at all thrilled with the person that they cast as that. So I'm excited to see where they go and they continue the Gwen Stacy, Peter Parker story.
There also might be Felicia Hardy might be showing up too. Black Cat.
Well, now you're just getting crazy. No, actually, that would be a welcome change because, again, that's something that, works obviously very well in stories. Mm-hmm. Worked in the Spider-Man cartoon back in the 90s, very well.
They're talking about the team, like they'll team up kind of thing.
And again, if romantic interest aside, that's obviously this is August. We're in the middle of summer blockbuster season. And every year we get more and more movie gold to watch.
Yeah.
We've had Man of Steel. The last show I did was before Man of Steel was out. That's how big of a gap we've had between Nerds United 1 and 2. Do we want to sit and talk a couple minutes on Man of Steel? I mean,
did you see Man of Steel?
I saw it. Yeah, okay. It was awesome.
Let's do it.
The ending.
Whoa.
Do we have any problem with the ending? Oh, spoiler alert. I'm going to reveal the ending. So if you have not seen Man of Steel,
earmuffs.
Yeah, mute this or something for 5 seconds. And I'm going to give you a countdown. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Spoiler alert, Superman snaps the neck of General Zod. And we're back. So hopefully, you know, if you haven't seen it now or haven't looked on a message board, then obviously you're probably not tuning into the right podcast. But yeah, that was such a... I'm sitting there, you know, and I went and saw it the first weekend it came out, a Saturday evening, and I went with my wife, and I'm sitting there on the edge of my seat through that entire battle, which lasted a long time.
It was sweet.
But it was the kind of battle that we needed after Superman Returns, where there was no fight, yeah. You know? And then to have it end the way it did, it's, well, you know, you can watch me cut down this family with my heat vision, or you can do something about it. He did something about it.
Sure did.
And I was like, you know, I had that deer in the headlights, jaw on the floor look, and my wife's laughing at me. And I said, I can't believe that just happened.
My theater was all at once.
I was at a drive-in. It was...
How was that?
So you weren't able to hear anybody else.
No, it was... Yeah, oh, we were, man, at the Skyview, Skyline.
What did you see with Man of Steel? Was it Iron Man 3?
Mm-mm. There's something else.
Star Trek?
No. There's something else. Oh, World War Z.
Oh, okay.
Nice.
Yeah,
which
it was a good
that.
Double.
I haven't seen that either. So good. I heard that because, I mean... And
they made zombies scary again.
And we'll definitely want to talk about that, but... you know, Man of Steel wrapped up the way it did, and then you get the announcement at Comic-Con about Man of Steel 2, which is, I mean, think about it, 2015 is going to be a big year. Man of Steel 2, Avengers 2, Star Trek Episode 7, nerds everywhere.
We're going to be broke.
Oh, most nerds, well, I can't say it. This nerd, me, I already is.
yeah, I was like, I'm already broke, too. That's why you have to do the Kickstarter.
That's right. Kickstarter.com and search for Ginormous. But yeah, 2015 is going to be a big year. But I mean, are they giving us... I don't want to ever, you know, like look a gift horse in the mouth, but are they giving us too much? It's like I've been a bad kid, but I'm being rewarded for my bad behavior.
I don't know.
Anything with Joss Whedon involved, I'm... obscenely into. So.
You're on board, Firefly.
Everything. You don't even... Everything.
Dollhouse, all of it.
I'm obsessed.
Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. coming out.
Oh, that's going to be so good.
I'm very interested to see how they brought back Agent Coulson.
Vision.
I've heard that.
Vision.
I've heard that.
Yeah.
Don't ruin it for me.
Well, I don't know yet either. It's just what I'm hearing.
World War Z. I have not seen it. I've heard, you know, obviously you two both have seen it, and I've heard from others who said that it's just amazing. To me, the first, now again, not reading the book, the first trailers that I saw, the zombies looked exceptionally bad from the...
They did a lot
poor
of the,
CGI
the bigger
type of thing.
Scenes in the trailers.
Like, you see them, like, all mass scrambling up the wall.
Yeah, it makes you think that when you see it, that's all you're going to be seeing. Mm-hmm. It isn't all you see. There's definitely more live action, which are crazy. Like, it's, like, half zombie, half possessed exorcist person. Like, it's twitchy and creepy and...
Yeah, they said they studied, like, ant behavior. And that's where they based a lot of that, like, scrambling, like...
Yeah, like, it's...
Monkey pile.
It's intense,
stuff.
Man. The first time they show somebody change, it is just wild. The scenes were shot awesome. In comparison to the book, from what I've understood, I didn't read the book, but it's different. You have to look at it as something new. Don't look at it like the book, because that's how people get down on those kind of movies. But
and I'm guessing don't go to it expecting that you're going to see something like The Walking Dead.
Right? No, it's a completely different tone.
Interesting. And again, it makes me want to see it that much more. I don't think any theaters out by me are showing it anymore.
St. Clair 10, I think, has it for $3 right now.
I live about an hour and a half from St. Clair 10.
Well, go on the way home.
Yeah,
I gotta go home to my wife.
Well, just tell her to meet you there.
trying to get me in trouble.
That's what I do.
Well, I do appreciate that. Check out that. What other, you know, upcoming? I mean, towards the end of this year, we've got Hunger Games or Catching Fire, I guess. Yeah. If you're a fan of that, and then Thor 2.
I'm excited for Thor 2.
Yeah, it looks
really better awesome. And better. You know, like early trailers, you didn't really know what to expect. Yeah. But was it the Dark Elf?
The Dark.
Something. I haven't seen the new trailer.
The Dark World or something like that.
Okay. Well, the Dark World's the name of it, but the main antagonist, yeah. I think, is like the Dark Elf or something.
I just enjoy that they still have Loki in it, and they didn't kind of get rid of him, so quick.
And how brilliant was his brief appearance at Comic-Con?
Amazing.
I mean,
he's so good.
That guy could, you know, sell me stale popcorn, you know, in the winter.
I would go to a Loki movie.
I think, and could the Marvel Universe be heading that way? Because obviously the character is wildly popular.
Oh my God, I know. I was like, okay, cool. Yeah, this dude's going to play Loki. It should be good. Then he was amazing.
And he's a guy, I mean, and as an actor, you really didn't hear about him before Thor.
Right. Mm-hmm. That's exactly it.
And after the Avengers, you can't, I mean, that performance carried, I mean, as the Chikari, you know, were one thing, but it was Loki who was, you know, carrying that, that movie from the evil standpoint. So I, you know, big fan of Tom's work and looking forward to, you know, the potential down the road of a Loki movie. One of the things we do here as we get towards the end of episode 2, Nerds United, is I ask the guests who they think are the three biggest nerds, and to keep it, you know, on a plane where, you know, people have heard of them, you know, so as far as celebrity wise, so because I didn't tell you about this, I'm going to put you on the spot, just to let you know the three who were named by Van Jensen, my first guest in episode 1, Joss Whedon.
Well, mm-hmm. You've ruined mine already.
Well, it's okay because you can give more than one vote. So Joss Whedon, okay. Patton Oswalt,
okay.
And Matt Kent.
Okay.
I
know Matt Kent, yeah.
Okay. Excellent, excellent. So that familiarity there. And he said, you know, Joss just because, you know, he's Joss. And Patton, mostly, I mean, Patton, I actually came to find out had at least one vocal role back in Batman Beyond. Back in the day, but one of the big things that Van said was a big selling point for him was that big 7.5-8 minute rant on Parks and Recreation.
yeah,
you know, where he's talking about blending of Star Wars and Marvel and how he says they could both exist in the same universe. So that's where. And then of course Matt for his work, Dark Horse Comics, Super Spy, and Mind Management, or Mind MGMT. So those are the first three names that we have. And again, the list will be updated, and you can check it out, jitterymonkey.com/nerdsunited. But let's start with you, Drew. And
God.
I don't know. Maybe I overthink it, or maybe I underthink it. I mean, maybe you're overthinking.
I might be overthinking.
I think I'm overthinking it, too.
I have a couple in mind for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I haven't given, you know, my three, but I look at, you know, somebody like Nathan Fillion.
Oh, good call.
Kevin Smith, just yep. because. I'm going to go out on a limb and say CM Punk.
Ooh, that's a good one.
So those are my three.
Although CM Punk does not like Grant Morrison.
I know.
I love Grant Morrison.
I'm a big Grant Morrison
fan, but I also
too.
Love CM Punk.
You can, I mean,
it's quite a conundrum for me.
It really shouldn't be.
It is.
Why does it, how
this guy does not like one of my favorite writers. I was like, how can I don't,
but it doesn't affect you.
No,
on
it
the
does,
personal
it
level.
It does affect me.
Oh, it does. I'm going to have to.
He's taking it personally.
I'm
going
to have to
tell.
Take that CM Punk shirt back to WWEshop.com.
No, yes, it's cool. Refund. Everyone's got their opinion. I get it.
Grant Morrison's another name that could be brought up in, you know, the work that he's done and continues to do.
Yeah.
You know, there are so many great creators out there, but like I said, this is the guest time to shine.
So the three nerdiest celebrities, I would go with probably Will Wheaton, John Dolomayan from System of a Down, the drummer, and then my favorite, Natalie Portman.
Now, why is she your favorite?
Well, I just like Natalie Portman.
It's because, you know, and she, you know, again,
especially in, I mean, Lonely Island.
Yeah, there you go.
Going, I mean, this is right back to last episode's Patton Oswalt. She crosses the universes.
She really do.
She really do.
She really she do.
From
really,
the mouths really of babes. So excellent, excellent. Will Wheaton, and, you know, of course, if you're not familiar with Will Wheaton, you are under quite the large rock.
Yeah.
Started on the Next Generation.
Mm-hmm.
And, of course, it has a few guest spots as himself on Big Bang Theory. Has his own show, and you were saying a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's Tabletop Gaming, I believe, is what it's called. It's on YouTube. He's got his own channel.
So, obviously, you could go check that. What yeah. I mean, what do they talk about?
They review games and talk about games. That's, I mean, that's it. We had a Tabletop Gaming Day.
I guess we're not talking Candyland here.
No. Like, you know, like, what do they do? They probably, I don't watch it. I'm not going to lie. I just know it's out there. I don't need Will Wheaton to tell me what
you
to buy. I
grab.
Work at a shop. I know what's hot and what's not. There's stuff like Zombicide and probably like Dominion, Settlers of Catan, Android Netrunner, I think Zombie. There's all sorts of stuff that they do.
There was there's a tabletop game that a friend of mine has. I've played a couple times. I mm-hmm. really like it. It's almost like the it's kind of the Risk, but it's not Risk because it's something like Infection or Outbreak or something where, you know, if there's you know, an infection, you got to sterilize the country.
Pandemic.
Thank you, Pandemic. Yep. I'm glad you came out with that or you came up with that. I was never going to find that name.
We have that.
Yeah, it's a fun game. I highly recommend it. But yeah, no Candyland. And how
probably
sad
not.
Is it, how sad is it that at 31 I really wish that I had Candyland and my wife won't let me buy it?
She won't let you buy it, man.
It's like every time we're in the store.
Just go out on Black Friday and you can get it for like $8.
Probably get it for $8 now. Go out on Black Friday. They might give it to me and $8.
Hey, it's still a classic. Still a classic.
And you know, one of the things that Will Wheaton did, I'd say within the last 6 months or so, or at least it was became viral in the last 6 months, was a video he was given to talk or was part of a panel to some assembly hall or arena or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the question was asked, how would you describe geeks or nerds or that culture, that subset, us, basically? You know,
right.
Again, if you're listening to this show, do you qualify? And I said it last episode, term of endearment. You know, we say nerds, it's not like high school, you're not getting wedgies or Melvins, you're treated with respect and love around here. But he went on this 7 or 8 minute discussion to what, you know, again, how he would describe this to his unborn child. His wife was pregnant at the time, and I think she might have been filming it. So just went on this really, I'm going to say the word beautiful, but it was okay. really great explanation of how there's so many things that you can, it's kind of a little bit of inspiration for me in this show, so many things, whether it be it comics or movies or Star Trek or tabletop gaming, anything, you know, that brings people together. And so, you know, just like I said, if you haven't seen it yet, you can find it on YouTube. Go to, imagine, Will Wheaton speech or something like that. It's pretty touching. Maybe I'll share the link on Twitter and Facebook. But so there you go. Will Wheaton, Jennifer Aniston. No, Natalie Portman.
Sure, we'll throw her on there too. Why not?
And the drummer from System of a Down, John Dolman. Dolmayan. So that's Drew's 3. Lauren's 3.
Oh, well, I'd have to say Felicia Day is definitely up there.
And, of course, she's, no offense to you, but she's kind of queen of the nerds right now, would you say?
Yeah, she's all over the place. Like, she has millions of followers. She's hot right now.
I first learned of Felicia in Dr. Horrible sing-along block,
mm-hmm.
and I thought that was brilliant. And then last season, I think she popped up, or last couple seasons, popped up a couple times on Supernatural. What else has she been doing?
She was actually in Buffy as well.
See,
she was one of
Buffy,
the potentials
so.
In the last season of Buffy, so.
Drew's like, I don't know.
Every time I go over, what is she doing? Lauren's drawn, and Buffy's on.
Hey.
Hey.
It's my process.
It's fine.
gets the job done, doesn't it?
It does. I'm not watching Buffy. It's just on. I'm writing, so.
I've only watched it 4,000 times, you know. That's what I do.
See, now, Buffy to you is Smallville to me. I love Smallville.
I love Venture Brothers.
I'm getting looked at.
It's true. He's got Venture Brothers tattoos and everything.
Yeah.
I've just got the Green Lantern tattoo.
That's sweet.
I still break it out. In fact, that's a story for after we're done recording. Where exactly does my tattoo pop out? So we've got Felicia Day, and she was doing another project here recently as well, if I recall.
I know she did The Guild.
Yeah,
The Guild,
Guild is the biggest thing that she's working on that I'm aware of.
That's what it was. I just couldn't remember the name.
I believe she's helped, like she's with Geeks and Sondry. It's something you can follow on Twitter. They follow a lot of, you know, this whole culture of things.
It's probably something I should follow.
Probably.
Maybe.
Because I'm a nerd / geek / whatever.
Well, follow her, and then you'll see that, so you'll be good.
If I had Felicia Day, if by her schedule and grace she ever agreed to be on the show, do I need to bring the setup here so that you can talk to her and cry a little bit?
I don't know about crying, but it'd be awesome. It'd be pretty cool.
I'd cry.
I'd probably cry. I might.
Yeah,
actually,
it'd probably be bad to meet like any of the celebrities that I love. I look like a baby.
I'd probably ask her to sing a number or two from Dr. Horrible Sing Along. I'll be honest with you. So Felicia Day, we talked quite about. Give me another name.
Steven Spielberg is obviously like he's uber nerd. Love the Falling Skies he's got out right now.
I mean, that could go back to, you know, Indiana Jones,
mm-hmm.
Goonies,
oh.
Jaws.
Oh, yeah.
Basically, if it's been out in the last 35 years out of Universal and it has that air of sci-fi to it, sci-fi or adventure, there's a good chance that old Spielberg's been somewhat attached to it. So.
Yeah.
Big fan of Steven Spielberg.
Oh, yeah,
it's not
definitely
a name that I would have correlated with nerd, but everybody's mind works in different ways.
Yeah. Obviously, the biggest in my mind, Joss Whedon. It's already thrown out there, but...
You know one that I'm surprised was not mentioned? And I don't even know why. I thought about this while I was listening to Lauren's. Oh, my God. Blair Butler. Totally left out Blair Butler, and I apologize for that.
Tag of the show?
Yes.
Yeah.
I would like to scratch Will Wheaton from my list
you
and
can't.
Add Blair Butler.
I don't think you can do that.
Okay. You're the host.
I mean,
that's
you
fine.
No, you can't. Okay. Blair Butler. And you know what? That's something else, too. I mean, I stopped watching G4 quite a while ago.
I stopped watching it when I moved out of my parents' house.
You stopped watching it?
Because I don't have cable.
Oh. No, for whatever reason, I mean, I occasionally catch a Ninja Warrior or an even more rare American Ninja Warrior.
Yeah.
But beyond that, I mean, I didn't, because gaming's not for me, so I, at least not anymore. I used to play, so I used to watch X-Play.
Mm-hmm.
But then I stopped, and I never just, that one, I think I'm one of three geeks or nerds out there who just never got into Attack of the Show. I like to watch it regularly. If there's nothing on, or if I'm over at a friend's house and they are watching it, okay. But it's just not one that I ever tuned into regularly. So I think that sound you're hearing now is people coming with torches and pitchforks, and they're ushering me out of the
it's okay, I'm with you on that
nerd
one.
Community. Thank you, Lauren.
True's outnumbered. Ha, 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 ha.
I didn't really watch Attack of the Show either. I just know Blair Butler.
Like another name that hasn't been mentioned, Olivia Munn. You know, there are a couple of others.
Good call. Oh, it's the American Olympic karate team took over next door. Used to be a head shop. The FBI shut it down. Now it's America.
America.
I don't know if anybody listening at home can hear that, but they are, yes, they're very active in their cadences in the martial arts studio on the other side of the shared wall here.
Yeah.
That reminds us again that we are, for episode 2, broadcasting live from, we're recording from the Heroic Adventures in Edwardsville, where you can, if you're in the area, you can stop by and see Drew.
You can come by on Wednesday nights also around 8 o'clock and catch a lot of the creators of some of the comics through Stash Publishing, too.
It's a true story.
Oh, really?
This mm-hmm. is where we started
Drew didn't tell me any of this.
I didn't.
No.
Maybe we need to backtrack now and
yeah, let's
discuss.
Talk about Stash.
Our core group of people. We're a group of creators. There's about 9 of us. We do work with a lot of other local people. It's great. We meet every single week. We're in the process of working on an anthology right now. It's our second. We've got one that Jordan Williams, he just completed Gunpowder Witch, issue 1. He was funded through Kickstarter. So that'll be coming out. We'll have it at the September convention.
Nice.
Then we have Anthony Mathenia. He's got a book. It's a flip book.
I remember those.
Yeah, it's a novel. Him and his friend, Shane.
Shane, yeah.
I can't remember Shane's last
Crash.
Name. Okay, we'll go Shane Crash. I was going for his actual last name.
Well, that's what he calls himself.
He's Crash. Crash. Not so, Crash Bandicoot.
No.
Completely different. And that is Stash?
Yeah, Stash Publishing.
Stash Publishing. And you
like
can
us on
up,
Facebook.
Like and that's Wednesdays at 8 o'clock or thereabouts at Heroic Adventures in Edwardsville.
Well, sometimes we meet here. If you follow us on the page, we actually say where we're going to be meeting. Sometimes it's Books a Million. Sometimes it's Global Brew.
You're not worried about stalkers, are you?
Not. I mean, you know.
I am. I'm always worried about stalkers.
You know,
people won't know I'm here until I'm gone.
We're getting into printing and stuff. I mean, people are going to know you, so.
Excellent.
We like to meet people.
Like Stash Publishing on Facebook
for
all of the updates. Is there a ginormous Facebook or Twitter page that people can follow
we're
on?
We're working on it.
That actually will probably be set up either tonight or tomorrow.
So, yes, by the time that this gets
by the time this is on Nerds United, we will have a Facebook page for ginormous. To keep everyone posted on updates.
And we'll make sure that link is available on
For
our
now,
website.
You can also follow it on Stash Publishing Facebook.
Yep.
Boom.
There you go.
Excellent. I think the only thing we didn't cover is Dave, because he had to work.
Yeah, he's lame like that.
Someone got to pay the bills.
Hey, you know what? Monday's my day off.
No,
get to drawing.
Oh. I was drawing. Hello.
I interrupted. I interrupted the process. It's all my fault. Excellent. I want to thank you both for talking with me about yourselves, your backgrounds, your nerd interests, and of course, ginormous. And I feel like there's a lot more ginormosity to.
Nice. We're going to use that.
You should. Ginormosity.
That's probably going to be some sort of catchphrase for
it. Ginormosity.
Check my jaw. I can't even say that.
Check my ginormosity.
Yeah, I was trying to say it like Macho Man too, and then that's where I got lost. I started laughing, and I couldn't get it out.
Well, he is supposed to find himself a catchphrase.
He is.
Coming up, so.
That's my ginormosity.
I love that.
I make up words all the time. So I'm excited I'm excited for Ginormous. Grant Givens, like so many of us now, government lab rats.
Yeah,
we're all sad.
It's better than being in his mom's basement, you know.
That's true.
Nothing wrong with it, but...
After a while.
Maybe he's got a pretty sweet setup.
I did.
He did.
All right, excellent. I want to thank you both for taking some time out to talk a little bit about Ginormous with me. Again, you can go to Kickstarter.com, easy for me to say, and search for Ginormous. And make a little donation. $1 gets you the digital comic. $5
gets the hard copy.
And digital copy.
$50
gets you. Ride yourself an ice giant.
A shot glass, a t-shirt, prints. That's for $50.
$100.
You get in
the
next issue.
No, $100 is in this book.
What's $75?
Be in the next issue.
That's what I said.
$8,000.
You get everything we ever do. Ever.
And all of our love.
So open up your pocketbooks, your bank accounts, and share that monetary love with the good folks from Ginormous. Thank you to Lauren and to Drew and to the empty chair where Dave should be, but he's being lame and working the job. That
lame,
helps pay
lame
for
sauce.
Ginormous,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Probably.
So that is it. Episode 2 of Nerds United. Thanks so much for listening.
Hey, real quick, kids, one of the things that we talked about
after conducting the interview, after finishing up our discussion, Drew and Lauren told me that the Kickstarter campaign is actually supposed to end this Friday. So in order for them to move forward with Ginormous, they really need you to step up. They're getting ever closer to your goals. So if you've got 5 or 10 or maybe 25 bucks that you can put towards their Kickstarter campaign, otherwise all of those donations that have been pledged get lost. If you want to see Ginormous like I want to see and read Ginormous, you got to make it happen. Go to Kickstarter.com, search Ginormous, and do it by Friday, this Friday, August the 9th, because that's when the Kickstarter campaign ends for Ginormous. Also, this is important. At the beginning of the show, we teased, stay till the end of the show, and we'll tell you how you can win the autographed variant cover of Green Lantern Corps 21, signed by Van Jensen, one of the new writers on Green Lantern Corps. But then we didn't tell you how you could win it. So now here I am. I forgot when I was sitting there at Heroic Adventures with Lauren and Drew. I forgot about it. We'd had such a good conversation. But now it's Tuesday morning. This show is about to be published, and I've got to tell you how you can win the autographed Rags Morales, autographed by Van Jensen, Rags Morales variant cover, issue 21, Green Lantern Corps from the New 52. Here's what you got to do. We talked about Stash Publishing in the show. You got to go find Stash Publishing on Facebook. Now, don't be like me. I thought it was Stash like a pile of goods, a collection, an organization pile of goods. That's not the Stash we're talking. Don't be like me. Stash, think of above your upper lip. It is STACHE Publishing. Again, Stash Publishing, STACHE. Find them on Facebook. Like the page. Be the first person to comment in all capital letters, "Witness my ginormosity." I'll spell that for you because it's a tough one. Ginormosity, G-I-N-O-R-M-O-S-I-T-Y. You put that up, post it on the Stash Publishing page. First one to do that, "Witness my ginormosity," you're going to win the Green Lantern Corps number 21 variant cover, drawn by Rags Morales, autographed by Van Jensen. Again, Stash Publishing on Facebook. Like the page, comment, post on the site, however, you know, whatever vernacular terminology you want to use, "Witness my ginormosity," and I will send you the Green Lantern Corps number 21 variant cover.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.